Now we thank you for your attention this evening. We continue to preach the gospel, reading from the New Testament and Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, the gospel record by Matthew, and chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This evening we'll take our reading from verse number 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 31, it hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let her give a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven. Verse 35, neither by the earth, neither by Jerusalem. Verse 36, neither shalt thou swear by thy head. Verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Six times in the Word of God we've read together this evening this statement. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. Six times here the Lord Jesus Christ, with supreme authority, supersedes, expounds upon that which has been written in the Old Testament law given by Jehovah, and brings something to the people's attention. Now we want to look at those things this evening, but what I'm going to state and clarify at the commencement of my preaching again this evening, no man can do that, friend. It's only God that can take what is written in the Word of God and bring and further that and supersede that. And the Lord Jesus here makes a very plain, clear declaration of himself as the Son of God, the one who is eternally and absolutely and essentially God, the Son of God from heaven. The little invitation that we gave out to the advertising of the preaching of the gospel in these days, one of the questions that was on the invitation was, why is there so much hate in the world? Len has been touching on this evening, and I just simply want to further and reinforce what he's been already preaching to you. It was a question that down at the university last week, I asked many people, In giving away invitations, we were able to look at some of the questions upon the invitation. What do you think of this one? We would say, why is there so much hate in the world? Well, on every occasion, 100% of the time, I received the answer. And it had nothing to do with the individual that gave me the answer. I received various answers. Well, it's because of poverty, said someone. Well, it's because of greed, says another one. It's because of violence, says another. Or alcoholism, says another. But not one person who I ever asked that question to, why is there so much hate in the world, ever gave me the answer. Because I'm a sinner. Or because I'm a perpetrator of sin. It was always somebody else's fault as to why there was hatred in the world. Well, you see, that's what we are by nature. We're very quick to point the finger. Someone told me this very recently, and it was a bit of a revelation to me. It made me smile, I suppose. You may have heard this many times before. But they said, you be careful when you point the finger. Well, they did kind of say this to me. They were saying it in the preaching, so maybe I'm thankful they didn't say this to me personally. But they said, you be careful when you point the finger. You see my pink finger pointed? Because they said you've got three pointing back towards you. That's a very, very true statement. We're very, very good at finger pointing. Very good. I wonder if in the meeting this evening you've spent your life finger pointing. You've seen the people down the end of the street. You've noticed their parties till all hours of the night. You've seen the degradation of what sin has caused throughout the city of Dunedin. You've seen the results, the effects, the consequences of it. But it's never ever had anything to do with you. As far as you're concerned, you're clean, you're justified. Well, would to God that you would in these meetings understand this, friend. You're a sinner and you've got to meet God. You must turn from your sin, not from somebody else's sin. No, friend, you've got to own up and you've got to acknowledge in your own self that you're guilty before God. You've violated his law and you stand condemned. And the Lord Jesus said these beautiful words, I came not to call the righteous, but listen, he said, but sinners. What? To repentance. The righteous hath no need of repentance. Oh, but you understand tonight in the meeting from the preaching that's already taken place that you're not righteous before God. You're a sinner and you need God's salvation. And there's only one way to receive it, by coming to the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's paid the supreme price for sinners and stood in the place which you deserved as the guilty man, accepted the judgment that you deserved, the very wrath of God against sin, defeated death, and in rising again from the dead offers you life and the forgiveness of sin. Oh, what a message to preach in Dunedin. But there's multitudes of people, and maybe I'm preaching to one or two this evening, and you've had the finger pointed out at other people. I want to tell you why there's so much hate in the world, friend. The reason why there's so much hate in the world is not because of the trees, and the rivers don't litter themselves, and the streams don't become polluted on their own. And death hasn't come just because of nature. No, friend. It's a result of sin. And I have never known a tree to tell a lie. Who are the perpetrators of sin? You. You are a perpetrator of sin. And so am I. And as one person said on one occasion, why doesn't God just clean up the sin in the world? In fact, that was a question I enjoyed last week putting to people. Why is there so much hate in the world? Oh, they would give me 110 reasons to why there was. And I would ask them this. So don't you think that if God was supreme and wise, wouldn't it be the best thing if he just came down and cleaned up all the sin? You know, that what you've been talking about, the poverty, the alcoholism, and this and that and the others. Oh, they agreed with me. That would be a great thing. What about the liars? You ever lied? You're a perpetrator of sin. And for God to remove sin from the face of the earth, he has to remove those that commit sin. Now the Lord Jesus here, masterfully, he takes the Old Testament scriptures, he expounds upon them, and he gets, he righteously points his finger as God, not just upon certain actions, but deep into the very heart of mankind. You see, you've heard, haven't you? It's said of old time, thou shalt not kill. Well, I'm very thankful you're sitting in the seat and you can say, I've ticked that one off my list. I've never killed anyone. And again, down at the university last week, I don't know how many times I heard that statement. Well, I've never murdered anyone. You know, when I compare myself to the others in the human race, I can see that there are some sins out there. But you know, thankfully, I've never committed those. Oh, says the Lord Jesus, what about your mouth? What about your mind? What about your motives, your heart? What about that which you've committed in the heat of the moment? What about that hatred that you've kept in the heart? Oh, he says that's equivalent to murder. You never killed anyone. You never actually, physically committed the act of murder. Well, he says, I want to probe right deep into the heart and you'll actually see that hatred is murder. In other words, if you could have removed that person without touching them because you hated them, you would have done it. I know in my own heart, there have been times in my life where I've had such hatred for a person, if I could have just willed them away, I would have done. I didn't actually go and get the gun or commit the crime of physically murdering that person, but if I could have removed them, I would have done. That was the hatred I had in my heart, and the Lord Jesus probes into the very heart of mankind, and he's probing into your heart tonight to see it actually what is there. The heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, friend, he's shining the spotlight on your life. The illumination of God's torch is upon your very heart in the meeting this evening. And he's exposing you as a sinner, guilty in the presence of God. What are you going to do about it? The Lord Jesus says, there are some, and they would say, well, you know, I've never committed adultery. I've been faithful to my wife all the days of my life. I've never had affairs like the wicked people of the world. I can tick that one off my list. Thank you very much. Oh, he says, you ever looked upon a woman for lust? Oh, I think your head went down, didn't it? I think my head goes down. And I realize there's a great big black mark against my name. And I have committed adultery in my heart. I think of the utter obnoxious act of one man looking upon another woman and vice versa. And though that woman may be another man's wife, another man who knows nothing about her would lust upon her. And God says you've committed adultery already in your heart. You're guilty in the sight of God. Thou shalt not. Have you committed murder? Have you committed adultery? The Lord Jesus also says here, someone else says, well, you know, I've never caused anybody else to sin. I might have done a few things myself, but I've not caused another to sin. But just wait a minute, says the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible for you to cause another to commit adultery too. Well, says some, and I can almost hear this. In the last three, but I say unto you. You see, the Lord Jesus dealing with the first three, he says, hatred in the heart is equivalent to murder. Lusting upon a man or a woman is equivalent to adultery. And you can actually cause another to sin in the presence of God by your actions. Well, he says, dealing with the last three, he says, I want you to know, there's going to be some that, and they say, okay, I'll hold up my hands, you know, I've broken a promise every now and then. But you know, the thinking behind what the Lord Jesus was teaching here was, this had nothing to do with God, you know, I swore, I made a promise on something else, like heaven or the earth, or like Jerusalem, or like mine own head. I made these promises. This has got nothing to do with... Oh, yes, it has, says the Lord Jesus. Because heaven is God's throne, and the earth is his footstool. And God holds you responsible for the very word. You know, if we were to turn to the 12th chapter, and I think verse number 36 it is, we would find there these words again. But I say unto you, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall say, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. But I say unto you, says the Lord Jesus, 12 times in this record, Matthew's record, we find this statement, but I say unto you, now this is the Son of God speaking, friend. You've got to sit up and listen to what he says, and he probes deep into the conscience. He exposes what you are in your position before God sinfully. He exposes what you are morally. He exposes what you are essentially. He sees you right to the very core, friend, and he's exposed you before the living God. All tonight as you sit in the seat, there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to run. You're exposed before God. What are you going to do? There's only one thing you can do, and that's repent. There's only one thing you can do, and it's to flee from the wrath to come. Turn to Christ, who gave his life for you, a ransom at Calvary's cross, friend. Laid it down upon the cross of Calvary. Received in his own body, pinned, spiked to that Roman cross. Oh, friend, he received in his own body the just judgment that we deserve, says the thief on the cross. We deserve the just judgment. This man has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. He's bearing my sin in his own body on the tree. Oh, look to Christ, friend, the sin bearer, the sacrifice made on your behalf, your substitute. If you'll come before him and just acknowledge, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Accept him as your Savior. Acknowledge him as your Lord, one who has defeated death, who's overcome the very power of death, rendered it idle, the devil, and has the power to give you eternal life and cleanse you from every spot and stain by his own precious shed blood. Thus says some, I may have broken a promise or two. I'll hold my hands up. You know, this is the other side of the coin now. And another one says, you know, okay, I'll hold my hands up. I've retaliated every now and then. But you know, I only gave as good as I got. They hit me first, so I hit them back. Oh, says the Lord Jesus, you heard that of old time, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I could tell you one of the scriptures, my dear friend, in the meeting this evening, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was he suffered, he threatened not. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, in supreme example before the human race, then took him and nailed him to a tree, friend. The one who is sinless, the Son of God, the mighty creator of the universe, men took him by wicked hands and put him to death at Calvary's cross, friend. Listen to the words he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, says some, you know, I've only hated some, but I acknowledge it was only my enemies I hated. I loved the neighbors around me, those who were good to me. I only hated those that hated me. Oh, says the Lord Jesus, you listen to these words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who was that? To his enemies, who pinned him, nailed him brutally to a Roman cross, lifted him up for every eye to see, and hanging up upon those nails. I want to tell you, friend, Christ hung upon literal nails at Calvary's cross. He had a literal crown of thorns upon his head. And the Bible tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He went into the depths of darkness under the judgment of God. Len has already quoted this to you this evening. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Friend, with the spotlight of God upon you this evening, now tell me, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, where do you stand? Are you proudly ticking off the boxes? I haven't done much wrong, or I haven't done anything wrong. I've never killed anyone, says someone. I've never committed adultery, says another. Oh, the spotlight of God is upon you now, and you're exposed as a sinner, guilty before God. What are you going to do? Friend, there's only one thing you can do. That's turn to Christ. I tell you this evening, friend, stop thinking about what you haven't done. Start thinking about what you are capable of doing. Don't think about what you have done and the good deeds you've done. Think of how far you've fallen short of the glory of God. Turn these things around, as Len has been telling you and preaching to you again already this evening. Turn things around, friend. Get them round the other way. Understand that you've sinned against God, and you're not an innocent little victim of society that's just happened to be in the human race amongst sin and degradation. No, friend, you're a guilty sinner in the sight of God, bound for God's hell, bound for the lake of fire which he created for the devil and his angels. But the message of the gospel is so wonderful and so beautiful. It tells you this evening that as a sinner you can flee to Christ. And in Christ you'll find everlasting arms that shall lift you up. Listen to this delightful statement from the Word of God. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You want to be carried home to the glory? You want to see the sunshine of God's bliss? You want to be a child of God, what we were reading about in the earlier parts of this chapter. You want to see God. You want to move into the kingdom of God. Friend, bow as a sinner before God this evening. Come in repentance. You're no longer trying to hide. You're no longer trying to run. You're no longer trying to tell God that which He knows about you already. You're no longer trying to make up something to God when He knows all about you already. Friend, just acknowledge before God what you are and bow at the feet of the Son of God who loved you, gave Himself for you. I want to tell you, with the authority of the Word of God, you'll be saved. Saved. Rescued. From sin and from hell. May God bless you. May you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks again for the Word of God. We ask for help, Father, to appreciate it further, and that every soul in this meeting this evening would surely, Father, take Christ. This we ask as we return thanks again for every breath we've received at the good hand of God today, for the open hall and the open Word of God, the preaching of the gospel. Now, God, we ask Thee to bless. We ask these things, Father, in the name of one who is alone worthy, Thine eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.